is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads podcast. We are hopping on tonight to have a quick discussion about the serious implications of the coronavirus and the impact that it's going to have not only on our society as a whole, but on the NBA. And tonight, the NBA has released a statement that from this point forward, the season has been indefinitely suspended. And we're not sure when it's coming back. We're not sure if it's coming back. And it's going to be quite an interesting next couple of weeks as we figure out not just what the impact on the sports world is going to be, but what the impact on the world at large is going to be. And certainly we want to take a moment before we start talking about its impact on the NBA to just wish that people out there who are affected by it, whether they have contracted the virus, whether they are just quarantined at home in a situation that's difficult, our first thoughts and prayers are with people who have been affected by this from a health standpoint. And certainly that's the most important issue that we're all facing. But there are implications for the NBA. And since this is a basketball NBA podcast, we're going to kind of come at this from that perspective. So, Jake, why don't you kick it off by just kind of summarizing what the NBA has said, and then we'll get into greater discussion.
So, obviously, we didn't really know before. I'm going back to earlier today. The Board of Governors had gotten on a conference call, and they had discussed what their plan was going forward. And the plan seemed to be, and you and I had been texting earlier, the plan seemed to be that they were going to play all games without fans in the stands. I have to imagine, though, Mike, like, there's no way that the NBA was not informed about this situation with Rudy Gobert and the Jazz before, or maybe they weren't. Maybe they just thought it was the flu, but the Jazz released a press statement. Obviously what happened was the Jazz went out. The Jazz and the Oklahoma State Thunder were going to play a game, and then they basically said he's not feeling well. They had him go test and whatnot. And this is the statement that the Jazz put out. This morning, a player on the Utah Jazz, which they don't name him, but everyone knows at this point that it's Rudy Gobert, and the Utah Jazz tested negative for influenza, strep throat, and an upper respiratory infection. The individual symptoms diminished over the course of today. However, in a precautionary measure and in consultation with cooperation from NBA medical staff and Oklahoma City health officials, the decision was made to test for COVID. A preliminary positive result came back right before tip-off of the Utah Jazz-Oklahoma City game. Subsequently, the decision was directly made by the NBA to postpone the game. When it was determined that the individual would be tested, we immediately informed the league office, the health and safety of our players, organization, those throughout our league, and all of those potentially impacted by the situation are paramount in our discussions. We are working closely with the CDC, Oklahoma and Utah State officials, and the NBA to determine how to best move forward as we gather more information. The individual is currently in the care of health officials in OKC. In coordination with the NBA and state officials, we will provide updates at an appropriate time. So that was the Utah Jazz official statement. Now, here's the thing, Mike. I don't understand why the players were, if they knew that he was getting tested for this, why, I'm going to swear here, I don't swear much, why the hell were they playing this game? Like, why were they even out there? Like, they should
have. Well, here's a report. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have a report from Royce Young from ESPN saying that he was told that Rudy Gobert was never at the arena tonight, that he was in Oklahoma City, and that they knew he was sick. And if he had been cleared of the virus, as you said, that he was going to play if he was not found to be positive. So, I mean, it's just a crazy situation.
I just don't understand it. My thought is this, Mike, and maybe I'm off base here, but with everything that's been going on, okay, and obviously this thing's spreading like crazy, okay, why? If they knew that he was getting tested for this, why do they even entertain the thought of playing the game? Like, especially for the fact that they didn't know until right before tip-off. So they literally waited to the last minute. Like, the players were warming up when they did this. They canceled the game. Like, so you had all these fans in the stands. You had all the media members, all the players, both teams right there. Like, if they knew he was getting tested and out of an abundance of caution, postpone the game. You find a time to make it up. Because, obviously, and like I said, this is going to come down to the fact that these symptoms don't necessarily show up right away. So, and there's a tweet put out by StatMuse. I don't exactly know what StatMuse is, but all 30 days can be connected in just the last 5 days. So all 30 NBA teams can be connected in the last 5 days. So, and one way, shape, or form, you know, it's definitely going to get around. And all teams that play Utah are self-quarantining now, including the Cleveland Cavaliers, who played them last week. And not to mention, you had all these people that were in the stands at the game, and we don't know how, you know, close someone has to be, but even if you gave someone a high five as they were exiting the game in a tunnel, that's there you go right there, right? I mean, so I just think, going back to what I previously was saying, I don't understand why if he was getting tested, why they even entertained playing the game in the first place and putting all those other people, quote unquote, at risk. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Well, I think it speaks to the challenge that public health officials have, that people in authority, in this case in the NBA, but we're talking about whether it's schools, colleges, governments. Eventually, I think we're going to get to where there's going to be stores and other places, restaurants, where they're going to have to make this decision. And obviously, they're going to go through the guidance from the CDC and try to be as informed as they possibly can. And yet, I think it just shows that we're all so interconnected that you're very, very close to being connected to just about anybody in the world, because one person comes in contact with someone else and then they get on a plane or they travel across the country. And before you know it, this thing is just has so many arms and tentacles. And I think that's why you start talking about the self-quarantine, and the best way to keep this thing from spreading is to limit the amount of contact that people have with one another. I think the question becomes, and I think this is a question that I'm positive the NBA was grappling with, is how long does that self-quarantine have to last before we can safely start to put people together in big groups again? And if you're the NBA and you say, okay, we're going to shut it down for a month, that's not catastrophic. It can be, you can figure out a way to make that work. Either you just say where the season is today, that's where it ends, and then we start the playoffs. Maybe you come back and you play 2 weeks worth of regular season games before you start the playoffs to allow teams to get back in. But there's no guarantee that in a month that this thing is going to be contained. And so is it going to be 2 months? Is it going to be 3 months? Is it going to be 2 weeks? I don't think anybody really has the answers to those questions at this point. And so that's the unknown. I think when you're the NBA, and that's why they were talking about playing the games with no fans at first, that at least gave them an opportunity to continue the season, where if suddenly 2 weeks from now it appeared that everything was, quote, back to normal, fans would be allowed back in and the season just proceeds as it always has. In this case, you start shutting down the season. At what point are you going to allow people back in? At what point are you going to allow the games to be played again? That's I think the big unknown is what's the time frame that we have to self-quarantine in order for this to happen.
Yeah, and the thing is too, you know, the NBA players can all self-quarantine, but there's people, other people out there that are going to not self-quarantine and they're just going to continue. So, like you said, I don't know when they have things. And here's the other bizarre thing, Mike. And they're talking about all these teams self-quarantining. But I guess Mark Cuban was talking after their game tonight because they were playing. And it was a really good viral video of him finding out about it. Like, they must have sent the league memo out. And they must always have cameras on Mark Cuban because, you know, he's pretty boisterous or whatever on the sideline. His reaction to it, he was blown away. Like, you could just tell, blown away. But he said that, per what they heard, is that NBA teams that are not quote unquote at risk or whatever, or maybe they're all going to get tested, are going to be allowed to practice still. They're just not going to be traveling and playing games. That's what Mark Cuban reported. So how are they monitoring that, and what exactly is going on there? I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a good way to keep the NBA players ready, because, I mean, you think of some of these guys, if they're not playing basketball, if they're self-quarantining and they're just sitting in their house, there are those NBA players that aren't going to take very good care of their bodies, and then you're going to have Deion Waiters situation.
Well, it's hard enough. It's hard enough to play high-level NBA basketball when you're already in basketball shape and playing at a high level. If you go out for a month and you're not able to practice, obviously these guys are going to have access to facilities in some way if they want to be able to get out and practice and work out on their own. But I don't know. The other thing that Cuban said, according to what I read, was that it was recommended that players shouldn't have visitors from out of town, which clearly makes sense. And it's interesting that we all have spring break coming up, and there's a lot of people, basketball players and otherwise, that, you know, have travel plans. And then we already know that the NCAA tournament, are they going to cancel? Is the NCAA tournament going to get canceled completely? I mean, I find it hard to believe that there's not going to be one player in the tournament, based on what we know so far, that somebody isn't going to get diagnosed with it at some point before March Madness is supposed to start. And there's a case where, can they really, now the NBA can postpone because their season is going to drag out into mid-June and it's only March, but the NCAA tournament, if the NCAA tournament has to shut down for a month, can you really bring all these college kids back in April or May to play the tournament when they haven't practiced together for,
well, not only
30
that,
days, 60 days?
Not Man, only that, but you've got all these kids that are potentially going to be going to the NBA. You've got all these kids that are potentially class situation. I think there's and hot take express, Mike, I think there's zero chance this tournament happens in any way, shape, or form, because there's, like we were talking off before this, I think that they can push the NBA season back and make it work because they're NBA players, and just adjust it, and maybe this pushes them into the direction that they've been hinting at, and maybe pushing to start the next season in December. You know, maybe they could use this as the opportunity to do that. Okay, the season goes until the end of July instead of June, or however long. You know, we don't know how long this quarantine is going to be, and we don't know, or the suspension is going to be, and we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, maybe they take this as the opportunity to trial it and say, okay, we're starting this season in December. Let's see how it goes. But, you know, I think there's, you can get away with that as an NBA team. I don't think as an NCAA in the NCAA space, I just don't see how they can get away with it. And you got a feel for these kids. Like, you look at all these kids that are, especially the seniors, that this is their last chance to play. Like, I know health is important, but they've been working their butts off, and you know, especially some of these smaller schools. And like, I don't want to turn this into talking about Dayton, but I mean, you got to look at Dayton's program. They're potentially going to be a number one seed in the tournament. And who would have thought at the beginning of the season that Dayton would be as good as they are this year? And it would be Dayton's luck to have a great team and then the tournament get canceled. I just don't think there's any way, Mike, that this tournament happens, and I don't think that they can postpone it a month and then come back to it. I think there's a zero chance it happens.
I think you're probably right. I think they're going to try to do everything they can to pull it off, but I just don't think once one player tests positive for it,
or coach Fred Hoiberg,
or coach, that again, those connections, that web of connections is a wide net, and I think it's going to be really difficult for them to be able to play it. And we're going to see, I think, over the next week or two, we're going to see more and more institutions and things get shut down so that we don't have this thing spreading. And again, you and I don't have the medical knowledge to be able to know what the right thing to do is. I think we just finished recording with Greg White. I thought Greg had a great line of talking about a month from now, the hope is that we can look back and say, gosh, we overreacted incredibly and we didn't need to do all the things that we did. And conversely, you hope that we don't look back 30 days from now and say, man, we didn't do enough. I can't believe we're sitting here where we are at this point. And so I think that's the way that you have to look at it. It's better to probably take these precautionary measures. And I think that's what ultimately all these leagues and conferences and the NCAA are going to end up deciding, is it's better to err on the side of caution and we can always look back and say, yeah, it was an overreaction, as opposed to we don't do enough, and suddenly players, coaches, fans, we're contributing to them getting sick, we're contributing to the spreading of the illness, and eventually contributing to the overburdening of the healthcare system. And we clearly don't want that, and that's when it becomes a lot bigger story than sports. It becomes a human story, which it obviously already is. And I just think that people are going to end up erring on the side of, let's keep everybody home, let's stop this thing from spreading, and let's get it under control before we start worrying about playing silly basketball games.
Yeah, I can't even fathom what this is going to be like. And, you know, a lot of people have been putting out there that sports are kind of our escape. Like, I can think of 9/11 and seeing George Bush go out and throwing the first pitch at Yankee Stadium, and just kind of like how that helped heal a lot of things that were going on in the country. But, I mean, I think this is just the first domino, and there's going to be not a lot of sports going on, yeah, on TV. And I don't exactly know what it's going to completely look like, but would you be surprised if all professional sports ceased to play for the next month, Mike? Would you be surprised?
No, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if at this point everything gets shut down. I think the NBA taking the lead and saying we're postponing, I think is going to take these other organizations, make them take a long, hard look at whether or not even playing with no fans in the stands, whether or not even that is enough of a precaution. And you think about here in the state of Ohio, the Ohio High School Athletic Association, and the state playoffs are coming up next weekend. Obviously, we have the NCAA tournament coming up and conference tournaments. I kind of think that we're heading towards a world where we're going to be without sports for at least a month. And hopefully that month will allow us to turn the corner from the health pandemic standpoint, where we can get the virus under control and things will be able to return to normal. But I don't know. There's no guarantees, obviously, and we're not in a position to be able to understand exactly what the spread of it's going to look like from a medical standpoint. And we're just not qualified to be able to make that decision. But clearly the people who are running these organizations have had a lot more contact with people who are experts in their fields. And if they've reached the conclusion that the most prudent thing to do is to close down the NBA, I think we're going to see a lot of organizations in the sports world follow that lead and shut things down. And it's strange if we end up self-quarantining, and I think about you and I both as teachers, that I think there's a chance that school districts may end up shutting down as we go forward here and things continue to spread and get worse, that we're all going to be sitting at home. And typically in times when we'd be sitting at home, what would we be doing? Watching sports on TV. And we're certainly not going to be doing that. And clearly the health of everybody involved, both from a sports standpoint and from a greater just population standpoint, is the most important thing.
I want to end this with a positive thing, Mike. Can we end with a positive thing?
Absolutely.
Did you see what happened in the Atlanta Hawks game, Hawks-Knicks game?
I did not.
So they went to overtime. The news had started to trickle out, obviously, that the season was canceled. The Hawks had Vince Carter check in one last time with 32 seconds left. The Knicks let him shoot a three at the top of the key, and he hit it.
Nice.
Classy. And then... Nice. So I thought it was real classy. I mean, the Knicks had the game locked up. It was like 132, 125 or something like that. So the game was locked up, but I thought it was super classy, and it was awesome that he hit a three to end, you know, possibly, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen. It'd possibly be the end of his career. And what a bizarre way that would be to end your career.
You know, be a very bizarre. It's been a – I mean, if depending on what – I mean, regardless of what happens – if the season ends up getting fully played out after the suspension's over, if there's some shortened version of the regular season and playoffs, whatever ends up happening, it's going to be a very, very odd and memorable year, not necessarily in the best way when you think about the passing of Kobe Bryant and then
Stern.
You throw this on top of it, you have David Stern. It's been a tumultuous year for the NBA, certainly off the floor.
And you didn't even mention, and what's crazy is we haven't even talked about the China controversy, like going back to the beginning of the season. I mean, think about
right.
that one. I mean, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that seems like a long time ago. And so you have four kind of major situations that occurred around the NBA. And we've talked about it throughout the season that I think it's been a very fun and entertaining season on the court, but certainly has been one of the most challenging that I can ever remember in the history of the NBA. And so I think we'll all be saying a prayer for people, again, who are affected by it. I think that we're going to just have to wait and see what happens, how this plays itself out, and continue to hope that the people who have the information, the people who are experts, that those of us who are not informed and are not as knowledgeable continue to be able to defer to the people who are, and that decisions are made with the best interest of public health in mind. And if that means that we lose the distraction of professional sports and college sports and high school sports for a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it takes to get this thing under control, then I think that's just something that we all live with and we move forward whenever the games return. And we know they're going to return at some point. And we'll just have to wait that out.
Yep. We'll have to see.
All right. To everyone who took the time to listen, we appreciate you jumping on and hearing our thoughts and opinions about what's going on in the sports world and in the world in general. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.